There was a time in my life, I probably still feel this way, but there's a time I was a whole lot better at it, where I really didn't want people to ever see me cry. I don't know if I just got, told like, hey, guys, don't cry. That's just not something you do. So dry it up, suck it up. You'll be fine. I don't know if that was ever actually communicated to me, or if I just kind of like looked around and said, okay, guys, don't cry, so I shouldn't cry either. I don't know how that message got in my mind, but, as much as I could, I would try to never let anybody see me cry. And that doesn't mean that I never got sad, never got emotional. I did. There would be times, there would be things that would make me sad, and I would well up. I would tear up a little bit. There would be, maybe even like worship times like we just had, where I was just like, ooh, this song, but I'm not gonna let it get to me, right? You see certain scenes in movies and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, but nobody's going to see me cry. I was bound and determined to never let that happen. And for probably most of the time, I think in the couple of years, I guess, that Christy and I dated before we got married, I think she might have seen me cry once. And then even after we got married, it was very rare. It was just, there was something in my mind. I was like, do not cry. Don't cry. Like something was wrong with it, And then something happened when we started having kids. There's something that unlocked in me where I cry at everything now. There can be commercials on TV and I'm like, oh, just there's certain movies. There's a scene in the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it. But there's one particular scene in that movie, and I've seen that movie a dozen times, maybe more. And I know the scene is coming. I know it's going to happen. And I've seen it so many times. I could describe the whole thing to you. But when that scene comes up and I watch it, I'm not even going to spoil it for you in case you haven't seen it, but you'll know it when you see it. But man, I just, I'm just crying. And again, I still try not to show that in front of my family. So I'm letting the tears roll while I'm just staring straight ahead at the screen. Hopefully nobody looks at me. But there's, I always was convinced, like, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to show emotions that way. I don't know how I came to have that knowledge or that desire, but I always kind of thought that. And it's kind of changed now. And it got me thinking, like, what are the things that make us sad? What are the things that bring us to tears? Because there are sometimes tears of joy, right? And there are sometimes tears of just, like, this is an emotional moment that I'm experiencing, whatever it is. And there's tears of pride sometimes when you see somebody accomplishing something. And there's a lot of different things that bring tears to our eyes. But what are the things that actually make us, like, sad? What are the things that move us to feel sad? I want you to think about that for a minute as we kind of get into what we've been talking about. Scott mentioned a minute ago, we've been talking about our emotions, getting in my feelings. And not just having feelings, but when the feelings start to take over, when my emotions and my feelings are so strong that they start to dominate my thoughts and therefore start to dominate my actions. And we've talked about how God has given us feelings. God has given us emotions. Those are gifts from God. There's nothing wrong with them. They're kind of neutral. It's just something that God has given our minds and our bodies to use to react to certain situations. But what we allow those emotions to do or to cause us to do, that can sometimes be a problem. And so we talked, a couple weeks ago about anger. We talked about God doesn't say don't get angry. He just says be slow to get angry. That anger is an emotion that God gives us to deal with something that is upsetting us. It's something that's hurtful to us, something that's hurting somebody that we care about. We get upset about that, or we see injustice happening, people being treated unfairly, and that causes something within us. We're supposed to have that kind of reaction, but the problem comes in what we allow our anger to do to us, or what we allow our anger to convince us to do in retaliation, hurting people back or hurting other people for what they've done to us. That's where it becomes a problem. We talked last week about fear. We all have fears. God's given us fear. God's designed us with fear. And fear can actually be a good thing. It can keep us from doing hurtful things or going into hurtful situations. But fear can also cause problems. Fear can produce a lot of anxiety and a lot of worry about things that haven't even happened yet. Fear can cause us to not take actions that we should. Fear can cause us to walk away from things that maybe we should be a part of. Maybe conversations we should be having. Maybe changes we should be making. And so we have to be careful about letting those emotions about getting caught up in our feelings and letting those emotions start to dictate our thoughts and our actions. So we've been asking this question. We've been asking this question every single week. How would my life be different if I was better at navigating certain emotions? That I can't always control the circumstances behind, you know, what happens to cause the emotion. I can't even necessarily control the emotion that I feel because that's just a natural response to something that happens. But navigating those emotions and kind of working through them and not allowing them to take control or to wreck the direction that I'm going, what would be different about my life? How would my life be different if I was better at navigating those things? That's what we've been talking about. That's what we're going to continue to talk about today as we talk specifically about sadness. And I don't know how many sermons you have ever heard about sadness. I don't know that I've ever actually preached a sermon about sadness. So here goes. We're going to do that together today, right? We're going to experience it together today. I think the only time, especially in churches, that we often talk about sadness, we immediately talk about joy and happiness and praise and those kinds of things, right? Which is a good thing. I mean, that's part of how we deal with our sadness. But I think it's important for us to kind of talk about this emotion that God has given us and how, again, it can lead to stronger and maybe even more difficult things to navigate. I mean, if we talk about sadness, just even understanding what it is, I mean, it can evidence itself. Just the feeling of being down, the feeling of sad, you know, I'm upset about something that's happening, about something that's painful or causing me trouble. It evidences itself in different ways, right? We handle sadness in different ways. I mean, obviously, if we get sad, some of us, we start crying. The tears come. Sometimes when we're sad, you can just see it in our facial expressions. We just, and I mean, you can even do this with little kids, right? Show me your sad face. They know what that looks like. You know, you turn your mouth down, you stick your bottom lip out, you know, try to make sad eyes or whatever. I mean, we know what facial expressions look like. Our faces sometimes display sadness. Sometimes when we're sad, we withdraw from people. We distance ourselves. I don't want to be around other people because I'm sad. I especially don't want to be around happy people because that's just going to make me recognize I'm not happy. I'm sad. Sometimes we allow anger to kind of combine with our sadness. And now we got these two emotions that we're dealing with, and we start maybe even, mistreating people. Sometimes we just our whole body language, we slump our shoulders, we move around kind of slow, we're lethargic. It evidences itself in different ways, but it's an emotion. Sadness is a feeling. It's an emotion. It is a natural response to something that is painful. I mean, sometimes something hurts. I am sad because it hurt. It's painful. And that can be a physical thing, that can be a relationship thing, it can be an emotional thing, right? I mean, you take your kids to the doctor, they get a shot, they are sad, okay? And when we experience physical pain in our lives, it makes us sad. But when we experience relationship pain, hurt, that makes us sad too. Maybe, definitely in a different way. But we have some of the same symptoms. But sadness can also come when we have a feeling of loss. Something that I had, I'm not going to have anymore. Something that I thought was going to happen isn't going to happen anymore. And it could be something from the past. Here's a person that used to be a part of my life and they're not around anymore. It could be a situation, a job, something like that. I don't have it anymore because I got fired or things had to change and I had to switch and go over to this role now. But I'm sad about that. Whatever it was that I used to have, I don't have anymore. And so now that's a painful thing. And my body and my mind is reacting to that. Sometimes I get sad about things that haven't happened yet and looks like it's not going to. Those of us who are Arkansas Razorback football fans feel that kind of sadness right now. And if you're not a Razorback football fan and you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry. Just look at us. We are sad. We are sad right now. Because something that we thought was going to be good is obviously not going to happen. We're not going to have a good season. It's just not going to happen. We are sad, right? And we get sad about sports. We get sad about jobs. We get sad about, I don't know, just a variety of different things. Sadness in and of itself is not wrong. It's not wrong to feel sad. And yet sometimes we get told that. We get convinced of that. You should be happy. Look at all the good things that are happening in your life. Look at all the blessings you have. Why are you sad? You're a Christian. You're supposed to have joy. You're supposed to be happy all the time. Why are you sad? And what I want us to understand and be convinced of this morning is that sadness is actually a gift that God has blessed us with, to be able to deal with painful, hurtful situations, to be able to deal with that sense of loss. And as we're struggling to know what to do with that next, to feel a sense of sadness, that's something that God has given each one of us. And we see it on display throughout Scripture. There's multiple people that showed sadness at different times. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we come across a woman we talked about before. Her name is Hannah. Hannah couldn't have children. And no matter what she tried, no matter what the techniques were back in ancient times, she couldn't have kids. All the women around her were having kids. She couldn't have them. And some of you in this room or somebody watching online knows exactly the pain of infertility. You know how upsetting that is and how devastating that can be sometimes. And you get this picture of how sad, how frustrated, how hurt Hannah was. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly." This is a painful thing. She desperately wants to have a child, and she can't. And it is causing this immense sadness in her life. Psalm 42 is a psalm that's written. If you look in the book of Psalms, look at, you know, the whole book of Psalms is a whole bunch of songs, right? Most of them are written by David, but not all of them. This is one that wasn't written by David. It was written by a bunch of professional singers at the temple, basically in the church building back in ancient times. And they wrote this song. Here's one of the lines from Psalm 42 in verse 3. They say, "My tears have been my food day and night. I'm eating my tears. I am so upset. I'm crying so much. That's what I'm living on. That is my sustenance right now, is my tears." Folks, if you look at that, that's a worship song. I don't even know how you'd set that to music, but would you want to come to a worship service like, "I've been crying so hard. I'm just eating my tears"? That's a terrible tune. I can't write music. But you get the point, right? If we're singing about sadness, what is that going to do to us during a worship service? I mean, there would be worship leaders like, "Let's not sing Psalm 42 today or ever." Why? Because it's about sadness. And yet, that's part of the praise to God. "God, I'm acknowledging, I'm recognizing, I am sad. I am eating my tears." There's a prophet named Jeremiah. He's got a book named after him. And Jeremiah is also referred to as the weeping prophet. He had these special messages from God to share with God's people. And he shared those things. And God even told him ahead of time, "Nobody's going to listen to what you say, but I want you to say it anyway." Well, that's going to be a hard job in the first place, right? And he gets mistreated, he gets abused, he gets thrown in a pit at one time, and then nobody listens to his messages, and God even allows this enemy country to come in and take over the kingdom and wrap up all of God's people, capture them prisoner, and take them off to a completely foreign land and completely destroy the capital city of Jerusalem, tear the walls to the ground, and the glorious church building, the glorious temple of God is completely destroyed. And Jeremiah watched all of that happen. He was an eyewitness to all those events. So when you're looking through scriptures and you see the book of Jeremiah, and you see some of those events actually described there, the very next book is this little 5-chapter book that we pass over most times. You don't even realize that you're skipping past it. It's called Lamentations, lamenting, crying. It is a book of crying. That's the title of that book. And it is Jeremiah who is crying out to God, who is so upset about, first of all, what has happened to his people, and second of all, that he kept telling them this is what's going to happen, and they wouldn't listen. And he's just weeping throughout this whole book. And to give you an example, Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 11, here's what Jeremiah says: "My eyes have no more tears, and I am sick to my stomach." Does that sound like he's kind of sad? And this is in Scripture. This is something that God is saying, I want my people to know this and to experience this and to learn about this. Jesus himself got sad. As he's on a hillside looking over the city of Jerusalem in his day, and he knows that a few decades after he leaves this earth, that the city of Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, that the temple that had been rebuilt is going to be destroyed again. And that the same situation as Jeremiah dealt with, he had sent prophets, he had sent teachers. He himself was trying to tell people, "We need to get our lives right. You need to repent. We need to make some changes so that this destruction that's on its way is not going to happen." And he already knows nothing's going to change. They're not going to listen. Everything's going to be destroyed. And as he is overlooking this city that has no idea the calamity that's about to come on it, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus is crying. Wept, weeping, that means ugly cry. He's ugly crying over the city of Jerusalem. Many of us are familiar with another story of Jesus in John chapter 11, where he has a friend named Lazarus who dies. And Jesus, spoiler alert, if you've never heard the story before, at the end of the story, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Before he does that, when he goes to the cemetery, when he goes to see the grave, this very small but powerful verse in John chapter 11, verse 35 says that Jesus wept. Jesus was moved to tears. Jesus was sad over the loss of his friend, over the power of death. And we're seeing his friends grieving over this loss, and he sat in that grief with them. And I share these examples with you. The list could go on and on. I want us to understand that it's not wrong to feel sadness. That even as people of God, and even as we recognize how good God is, even as we have celebrated this morning, that we should praise the Lord. How can I keep from singing his name? Is what we just sang about, right? And if we're really honest with ourselves, there's some of us, maybe this morning, or at least sometimes in our lives, like, how can I keep? I can keep from singing his name right now. I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. I'm devastated. I'm sad. And that's okay. God is okay with that. God has given us that opportunity. God has given us that emotion. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon gives a whole list of opportunities in life, times in life, where things are appropriate, where things should happen. There's a time to do this. There's a time to do that. There's a time for this to happen. There's a time for that to happen. And he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There are times to celebrate. There are times to be happy. There are times to have joy. But there's also times to allow myself to feel sad, feel some grief. The issue isn't sadness in and of itself. That's an emotion. That's a feeling. It's when I don't navigate my sadness very well. When I allow my sadness to really sink in, when I get into my feelings and allow my sadness to take control, that's when it becomes a problem. Unchecked sadness moves into depression. And as psychologists and therapists try to, you know, acknowledge the difference between sadness and depression, they recognize all of us feel sad. All of us feel moments of sadness. But when we're having that constant feeling for longer than a couple of weeks, we're moving into depression. And there may be some more serious help that we're going to need to get over that sadness. And it takes more, even when we're just sad, it takes more than people just going, you know, well, buck up. Put a smile on your face. Just don't be sad anymore. Does that work? It usually makes the sadness worse. Or at least it adds anger and frustration to it. You don't know how I'm hurting. You don't know why I'm hurting. Now you're just making my sadness even worse. I think we need to learn how to navigate our sadness a little bit. Maybe have some tools for that. Because if you think about it, there's a variety of ways that we deal with it, right? I mean, one of the ways that our culture, or maybe just our upbringing, or maybe just our personalities teach us to deal with it is coping mechanisms. I'm going to cope with my sadness. And the problem is that most of those coping mechanisms are temporary. They provide a temporary solution, a temporary numbing of the pain, whatever the painful situation is. But they don't really take care of it. And that could be, again, a variety of things. Some people, you ever heard the phrase, I eat my feelings? Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever said that before? That is something that I do sometimes. That just when I get sad, how do I fix it? I eat. And I don't eat healthy. I eat all the things I shouldn't eat. And then I get more sad because of everything that I just ate, right? It's just this cycle that keeps perpetuating itself. But some people, they eat a lot. They eat a lot of junk food. Some people go the opposite direction. When they get really sad, they don't eat anything. And they don't take care of themselves. Some people, when they get sad, they go on shopping sprees. That's going to make everything feel better, right? I buy myself things, make myself look good, make myself feel pretty, make myself feel better about myself because of whatever it is that I purchase. I stop taking care of myself. I drink I do drugs. I get into prescription meds. Why? Because it'll numb the pain, at least for a little while. And the problem is that when I use these different coping mechanisms to deal with and navigate my sadness, they don't really do anything about whatever the problem is. So that whenever I am done eating or doing drugs or going on the shopping spree or whatever it is I'm doing to deal with my sadness, the source of the sadness is still there. And now I feel worse. Now I'm hungover. Now I've put on weight. Now I'm in debt. And whatever the thing is, now I've even made the problems worse a lot of times because I tried to cope with these things that only provide a moment of ease for whatever it is that's hurting me. Some of us, when we're trying to deal with our sadness, we just bottle it up. I'm just going to make myself not be sad, and I'm definitely not going to let that emotion out. I'm going to force myself not to cry. I'm going to force myself to not be upset, and just whatever natural response that my body and my mind is making towards this sad situation, I'm going to force it to do the opposite. And I'm going to take those emotions, and I don't want anybody to let me, you know, perceive me as being vulnerable or being weak at all. So I'm just going to bottle all that stuff up. And what's the problem when I do that? Eventually, it's going to explode. It's going to come out. It's going to come out in my words. It's going to come out in my actions. It's going to come out in my attitude or a combination of those things. It's not healthy to bottle up those emotions like that. And along the same line, sometimes what a lot of us do is just ignore it. I'll just pretend that I'm not sad. I'm just going to put on my happy face. When people say, everything okay? I'm going to say, yeah, everything's fine. And I'm just going to pretend, and I'm going to ignore, and I'm going to act like there's nothing wrong. Even if I'm feeling grief, even if I'm feeling sadness, even if I'm feeling despair, just give me enough time and I'll make it go away. If I just continue to ignore it. And again, the problem with that is I'm hurting. And just like a physical wound or just like getting physically sick, if I don't do something about that, the problem's going to get worse. The infection's going to continue to grow. Things are going to continue to get worse, right? If I don't do anything with it. Same thing happens with my sadness. If I don't actually navigate through it and I don't deal with it and process it and start to move beyond it, it's going to continue to get worse. It's going to affect my physical health. It's going to affect my marriage. It's going to affect my relationships, my mental health. It's going to affect my faith. So, what do I do then? If these other coping mechanisms don't work or they're not the best choice to make, if ignoring the problem or bottling it up isn't the best thing to do, then what do I do? How do I deal with my sadness when these times come? And let me kind of make a side note here. If you are, or even think you might be, dealing with some depression, I hope that you are around people, and I hope our church family itself is very kind and compassionate about that. And doesn't just say, well, just feel better. Just get over it. And I'm sorry if we've ever treated you that way. But if you've got some actual depression going on in your life, get some help. Talk to a medical professional. Talk to a mental health professional. Get the help that you need. We've got resources we can recommend to you if necessary. So I want to make sure that you understand that and that you know that and that you know we're here to help if we can. But in these moments where maybe it's not just full-on depression or maybe it's moving that direction, but if I'm just sad, I'm upset about what's happening in my life right now, I'm not feeling happiness, I'm not feeling a sense of joy, I don't see the blessing that God is putting in my life, how do I navigate that? What do I do with that? Let me give you some things very quickly to help kind of navigate through that sadness and get on the other side of it. And the first thing that I think that I have to do with my sadness is, if possible, I need to identify the source of it. Why is it that I'm feeling sad? I need to know where this is coming from. What is it that's caused me to feel low? What's the source? And sometimes that's obvious. Sometimes I know this thing or this person is causing me pain and I am sad. I am upset about this particular thing. I mentioned the Arkansas football team, right? We know the source of the problem of why we're sad. We're not winning football games. I am sad because of that. Like you can identify that. And sometimes if it's a painful relationship, sometimes if it's consequences because of choices that we made, or maybe even things that we had no control over, but some negative things are happening in our lives, I can understand that. This is why I'm sad. But sometimes it's not that obvious. Maybe there's some things that happened in the past and I forgot about them, or I pushed them away and chose to ignore them, and now they're starting to evidence themselves. Maybe there's some things that are going on in my mind and in my soul and in my heart that I'm not completely aware of. And I might need even some help to identify some of those things because I've ignored them in the past, because I never realized that they were an issue. If we go back to Psalm 42 again, we read in verse 3 about, you know, I'm eating my tears. You go a couple of verses down to verse 5, and here's what the psalmist says. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Now, I think in the context of this, if you keep reading, it's almost as if this person who is writing this song is kind of getting onto themselves. Almost a like, what is your problem kind of thing? What is wrong with you that you're downcast? Why are you sad? What do you have to be sad about? And I'm not for sure that that's totally the purpose behind the question. And even if that is the purpose behind the question when the psalm was originally written, I still think this is an important question that I need to ask myself. Why am I downcast? Why am I disturbed? What's going on right now? What is causing the sadness? What's at the heart of this? That's the question that I need to ask myself in the first place. And again, it may not be immediately obvious. I may need some help. I may need to have a conversation with a family member, with my spouse, with a professional therapist, whoever it is. I need to talk to somebody like, I'm down right now. I can't figure out why. If I can't figure out the source, I'm going to have a really hard time figuring out how to get past it. So I need to know what the source of the sadness is in the first place. And the second thing I need to do is pray about it. Just pray about it. And I know that I say this a lot as when I'm giving you guys action steps of things that you can do in your life in certain situations. Almost always, one of the things to do is to pray about it. And that's not because I can't think of something else to say. I really think we need to spend time in prayer, especially about the things that are hurting us or bothering us or causing problems in our lives. Talk to God about it. Pray about it. Be completely honest and genuine. God, I am hurting. I am sad, and I don't know why. Or maybe I do know why, and I just don't want to feel this way anymore. Pray to God about it. Talk to him about it. Ask him to rescue from that sadness. Ask him to conquer whatever it is that's causing the problem. But spend some time talking in prayer about it. And if it's uncomfortable, if you don't know how to pray, then write it out. Write it like you're writing a letter, like you're sending a text. God, here's what's going on right now, and I'm sad. Whatever it takes, spend some time venting to God. And there's a difference in venting and complaining. But either way, God can handle both. But just spend some time talking to God. God, I'm upset. I am down. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I need help. I don't want to feel this way anymore. Talk to him about it. James says in James chapter 5 and verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. You go back to the ancient Greek language that this verse was originally written in, and the word that we translate in our English Bibles, or at least in this version of the English Bible, trouble, that Greek word literally means a hardship that is difficult to get through because it is painful. Like some things are hard to get through just because they take effort. But this word literally means there is something that I'm having to struggle through. It is a burden. It is a hardship. And I'm fighting to get through it, but it's causing me pain in the process. This hurts. James says, are you hurting right now? You know what you should do? You should pray. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. Is there pain in my life? Is there something that's causing me sadness and hurt and despair? Man, pray about it. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Because if you go a few verses later, this won't be on your screen, but if you go a few verses later in that same chapter, in James chapter 5, James says, you know what? Stuff happens when we pray. God moves when we pray. God answers when we pray. So pray about it. Next thing. Maybe I need to make sure to practice some self-care while I'm dealing with my sadness. I need to get some exercise. I need to eat some healthy food. I need to get some rest. I need to get my focus off of myself and go help somebody else. That's a healthy thing to do. And sometimes, as we get in our feelings, we get so overwhelmed by the emotion that we just sit in the emotion and do nothing. And the emotion continues to take over, right? And sadness can do that to us. And so I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself as I'm navigating through my sadness. Some of the folks in here can attest to this. A common issue that happens at church camp, not necessarily every summer, but a lot of summers, every summer, there's somebody that's going to cry. It's just going to happen. They're going to be sad about something. And it could be a variety of things. It could be, you know, seniors are sad because they're not going to be able to come back as campers anymore. There could be younger campers that are sad because they're homesick. There's been campers that have gotten sad because they lost the championship match or the ping pong tournament. You know, there's a lot of things that make us sad when we're at camp. And the problem is that you add fatigue to that, and you add not eating maybe that well to that, and it's hot and we're all sweating. You add all that to the sadness, it just makes the sadness worse. thank you. You got an amen over there. And late at night, when everything's kind of wrapping up for the day, and you got some, you know, camper just tears and just so sad and just can't get over it, and they treated me this way, and she said that, and he did this, and I just wanted to, whatever. One of the things, for me, I let the camper vent for a little bit, tell me what's going on. If you can't offer an immediate solution, you know what I say? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to bed. We're going to get up in the morning. We're going to eat breakfast, and then we're going to figure this out. And most times, that works, because you know what they need? They need sleep. And if they just take care of themselves and get some rest, they'll have a new perspective the next day. Things, and that's not guaranteed, but it usually at least gives us some clarity so we can come up with some solutions, right? In Psalm chapter 3 and verse 5, we mentioned Psalm 3 last week when we were talking about our fears. Look at what David says in Psalms 3 and verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. As David, as we talked about last week, was dealing with fear, this overwhelming fear. And as we talk today about this sadness, this hurt, this pain, this struggle that I'm dealing with, one of the things that David says is, I'm going to lay down and go to sleep. And there's no guarantee that when I get up in the morning that the problem's going to be gone. It might still be there, but I'm going to sleep tonight. And I'm going to get up the next morning because no matter what, God's still with me. And we're going to get through this. But I need to take care of myself in that process. I need to practice some self-care. Very quickly, another thing that I need to do as I'm dealing with my sadness, as I'm navigating through, is I need to hold on to hope. I need to hold on to the confidence that I am going to get on the other side of this. That I might be sad right now. Things might not be going my way right now. Things might even feel completely devastating right now, but I know there's something better. I know if I'm patient enough, God's going to help me through this, and I'm going to get on the other side of it. And maybe I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel right now, but I know there is a tunnel, and I'm going to keep moving forward and get to it. I know it's there. I know there's something better. That's hope. Hope is not crossing our fingers and just wishing things were better. Hope is not just saying to ourselves, boy, it would be nice if things were different in my life right now. Hope is saying, I believe, I know that I am loved by God, and that no matter what else, if things are going wrong, he's going to get me on the other side of it. He may not protect me from it, but he'll walk with me through it until I get on the other side of it. And folks, we need to hold on to that trust. We need to hold on to that faith. We need to hold on to that hope, especially when we're hurting, especially when we're sad, especially when we're becoming overwhelmed by things that aren't going the way that we thought that they should in our lives. Hold on to hope. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Beautiful promise. If you got a Bible, I would underline this. If there's some way to highlight in your Bible app, come back to this verse often. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That is hope. I'm in the nighttime right now. I am struggling. I am hurting. I can't control the things that are happening to me. I'm dealing with sadness. I'm dealing with frustration. I'm dealing with anger. I'm dealing with fear. Whatever the emotion is, it's here. I'm in it right now. I'm in the night, but the morning's coming. And it may not come as fast as I want it to, but I know it's coming. I trust that it's coming. Sorrow, weeping, that lasts for the night. It's true. But rejoicing comes in the morning. There's going to be a time when things are going to get better. I believe it. I trust it. I'm hoping in it. I expect it. Hold on to that. And then lastly, Praise God through the sadness. Praise God through the sadness. This is not pretending that I'm not sad. This is not pretending that I'm not hurting. This is not ignoring my pain. I'm acknowledging I am hurting. I am in pain. I am sad. Things are not going well. Whatever the emotion is, I'm acknowledging it. But I'm choosing to praise God through it. Not to pretend that it's not there, but to just know, to hold on to that hope, to know I'm going to get on the other side of it. And until I get on the other side of it, I'm going to praise God through it. I'm going to continue to pray to Him, and I'm going to continue to praise Him. I'm going to continue to remind myself how good He is. I'm going to continue to remind myself and people around me that I know that He is a presence in my life, that He is carrying me right now until I get on the other side of this sadness. I'm going to continue to praise Him. And maybe that's singing songs. Maybe that's listening to Christian music. Maybe that's journaling and writing things down and writing my feelings down and writing through some Psalms. Maybe it's just spending time in Scripture. Maybe reading Scripture out loud so I hear those promises being spoken out loud. Maybe it's spending time with other people and we praise and we pray together so that I feel that God's presence. I feel His Spirit. I know that He's carrying me through this. Folks, if we spend time praising through the sadness, we will navigate through it. We'll get on the other side of it. Go back to Psalm 42 and verse 5 again. I just gave you the first part of the verse earlier, where the author of this psalm says, "Why so downcast, my soul? Why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And then he tells himself this. Put your hope in God. We just talked about hope, right? Put your hope in God. And he says, "For I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." I will yet praise Him. What does that mean? Even though I'm hurting, I'm still going to praise. Even though I'm confused, I'm still going to believe and trust. Even though I don't know how long this pain is going to last, I'm going to hold on to Him all the way through it. And I'm going to praise His name, especially when we get on the other side of it. I'm in the middle of my sadness. I praise Him through my sadness. Even yet, I will praise Him, my Savior, my God. Folks, this is how we navigate through our times of sadness and despair. And it would be nice if we could just use this as a checklist. Okay, identify source, check, pray, check. Self-care, did that. Hope and praise, done. Oh, look at that, I'm not sad anymore. And if that's the way that I came across, that's not what I meant. These are things that can help. These are choices that I can make. These are actions that I can take that will help me navigate through the sadness no matter how long it lasts. Because I know I'm going to get on the other side of it. So let me ask you a question. A question you need to ask yourself. How would my life be different if I was better at navigating my sadness? What would be different about me? How would my marriage be different? What would my family life look like? How would my job be different? What would change about my friendships? How would my finances be different? How would my interactions with my church family be different? How would my faith be different? If I was just better, not perfect, just better at navigating my sadness. And that's a question only you can answer. But I hope we've given you some tools today to help those times of sadness and despair and grief. So I'm going to wrap up this morning. I do want to challenge our church family again. Maybe you're not in a time of sadness right now. I hope you're not. But if you know someone who is, and I guess this isn't just for the church family, it's for a guest too. If you know someone who's struggling in a time of sadness right now, a couple things. One, we got to be careful with our words. We got to be careful with our words. Sometimes we can say things and think that we're saying the right thing and we're making things worse. And so just be careful about that. When we talk to people, when we share with people, we try to help people who are dealing with a time of sadness, we can say encouraging things. By all means, please do. We remind each other of the good things that God is doing. We remind each other of God's presence in our lives. But I know that sometimes with the best intentions, we can say the wrong things. I have a very close friend who years ago was going through a very painful time for his family. They had it was a devastating loss they had no control over. And we came to church the next time. There were people that were coming up, and they were hugging him. They were saying, man, we've been praying for you guys. And there were multiple people, his first Sunday at church after that terrible thing happened, who, with the best of intentions, said, well, you know, Scripture tells us that everything works together for good for those that love the Lord. Now, I believe that to be true. He did too. But he didn't want to hear those words in that moment. And he looked at some of the folks and said, I believe that, but I don't feel good right now. And so I just say that, just to help us a little bit. Be careful with our words. And also to remind us, sometimes just our presence. If we're helping somebody going through a difficult time, our presence is enough. Just being there. I mean, read the story of Job. All the devastating things that happened to Job, and his friends show up. Now, the bulk of the book of Job is his friends going, you messed up, and you did something wrong, and it's your fault, and you need to fix it. Again, choose our words carefully, okay? It wasn't the right thing to say. But you know what the first thing that his friends did? When they showed up, they sat there for 7 days. Nobody said a word. Because Job just needed to know there was somebody else there with him. And that's what we need to do too. But as we wrap up this morning, we're going to stand up together in just a second. We're going to sing a song together. And when we do that, I just want to offer to anybody that's here in this room listening this morning, man, if you're in a valley of sadness right now, that's okay. And if you want help with that, you're welcome to come to the front and share that with us as we sing together. And to say, I am depressed, or I am grieving, or I'm in despair right now. You're welcome to share that with us. And I don't know if we'll have all the answers for you, but we'll be here to sit with you, to be in the sadness with you until God gets you on the other side of it. So feel free to come share that with us when we stand to sing. I do want to give you this last promise. You know that weeping prophet Jeremiah, the one that cried all the time? In the middle of that book of crying, he says this in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. See, that's important. We may be hurting, but we're not consumed. We're not conquered. We're not destroyed. Why? Because God loves us that much. He's not going to let that happen to us. What does he go on to say? For his compassions, or maybe your particular translation says his mercies, the feelings he has for us. I mean, that Hebrew word, this is ancient Hebrew, is where the scripture comes from. It comes from the word for like your intestines, your guts, your innermost person. And Jeremiah says his gut level feelings for us never stop. He never stops passionately loving each one of us and showing that on a daily basis. Those moments are new every morning. Isn't that beautiful? And folks, that is true. You may be sad right now. You may be devastated right now. But you don't have to be conquered by that emotion. You can be rescued from it. You can be carried through it till you get on the other side of it by a God that loves you every single day and tries to show that to you every single day. So if you need help experiencing that love, that mercy, that compassion from him, if you need help navigating that sadness in your life right now, please come to the front and share that with us while together we stand and sing.